friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable bringing you this Christmas edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF in the hustle and bustle and pressure and preparation for Christmas Day. I pray that you will discover the true spirit of Christmas, the peace, the love, the joy that only God can give you through Jesus Christ this year. You can't find that wrapped in a box under a Christmas tree. You can't buy it on the marketplace anywhere in the world with all the money in the world, but it is a free gift to those who receive it. And I pray that if you're not a Christian, you'll stay tuned, because there are many Hallmark movies that are going to have a very, very good ending. But real life doesn't necessarily work like that unless you put all of your trust in Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, there's going to be a happy ending no matter what the circumstance is in your life right here and right now. God has given us in Jesus Christ a reason for hope beyond time that reaches into eternity. Praise God. And Christmas begins that wonderful, wonderful process of God's salvation plan. If it wasn't for that baby born in Bethlehem, there would be no man hanging on that cross at Calvary. But thank God this baby was sent to us. A son is given to us that he might die in our place, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins, be reconciled unto God, and have the promise of his help throughout this life and heaven as our home throughout all eternity. Well, we're going to be talking in just a moment or two about recapturing the true spirit of Christmas. And we're going to talk in particular this Christmas Eve about joy. Where does Christmas joy come from? Listen to the words of Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 and see if you can discover the answer. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born unto you. He is Christ the Lord." Amen. If there's a single word that describes what Christmas is all about, it's the little word joy. Several of our favorite carols mention it. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. O come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant, come ye to Bethlehem. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Joyful, all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies, and with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem." This is a time that God wants us to experience the true joy of that event and what it means to us in the contemporary sense, in the 21st century. This event that happened in that little town of Bethlehem, the angel said this was a reason for great rejoicing. Amen. I like the song that says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy." Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, the Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And how we need that strength today, the joy that is not based on the immediate circumstance of our life, but in an unquenchable joy. You know what the Bible said about Jesus? It said, "Whom having not seen with our physical eye, whom having not seen, ye love with joy unspeakable and full of glory." In John 15, Jesus promised that prayers can be answered, that God can help us with everything that we face in this fallen world, in these faulty bodies. And he said, I've spoken these things unto you, that you might have joy, and that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is hope for you, and there is hope for me today. Amen. A hope that nothing can conquer and nothing can cancel, because God has promised a happy ending. You know, Hallmark is going to have all kinds of movies, and they're going to be some of the most syrupy sweet, and I love them all, the Christmas movies, because I know no matter what's going on, it's going to have a happy ending. Real life doesn't always offer or promise us a happy ending. Death can disrupt happy endings. Divorce can disrupt happy endings. There are all kinds. Getting laid off of our job or fired can disrupt a happy ending. Getting a prognosis of a devastating disease in our body can change our hope of a happy ending. But when you come to know Christ as your Savior, you know what He's accomplished in your behalf at the cross, you realize there's going to be, in spite of all that can happen and befall us in a fallen world in faulty bodies, there's going to be a happy ending. I love that Old Testament scripture where God speaks to His covenant people, ancient Israel, and He speaks to those who have put their trust in Him today. I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There's going to be a happy ending to all of this, an ending that death cannot conquer, an ending that nothing can stifle or stop, because God promised those that would trust in Him that He would see them through this world and secure them for the world to come. Give them grace sufficient for every trial and every test. In fact, He said not only would He give us this wonderful grace, but part of that grace would be encapsulated in the wonderful promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will go with you every step of the way. Praise God. Amen. This is why there are so many mentions in the Bible and in the great hymns of faith that specifically are heard this season. The word joy keeps coming up again and again and again. Here's a quote from Dean Williman that seems to put this passage in perspective. And he said, and I quote, Christmas is a delightful disruption of the way things normally go. I like that phrase, delightful disruption, because it catches the spirit of Luke chapter 2. Listen, one moment you're tending the sheep in the middle of the night, and the next you're being scared out of your wits by an angelic choir. I don't know how delightful that is, but it is definitely a disruption. And then the angel says, don't be afraid. I've got good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. What is this good news of great joy? Verse 11 has the specific answer to that question. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If you're looking for Christmas joy, I'm going to proclaim and declare today that you can find all you need in this single verse if you will take it to heart and act on it. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20. This final verse tells us the shepherds were profoundly changed by what they had experienced. What a difference a day makes. On the day before Christ was born, they were in fields tending their sheep. On the day after He was born, they were back in the fields once again. Only this time, their hearts were filled with praise unto God. Hallelujah. It's interesting to me that in the fields outside Bethlehem its lowly and powerless shepherds, to whom God spectacularly conveys this message of peace and announces the birth of the Messiah. Jesus' story, which started with a young unmarried teenager being chosen to conceive and bear the Son of God, continues with more of God's radical actions as God chooses to reveal this birth first to poor, uneducated, and religiously unsophisticated shepherds. The shepherds respond with hope, with wonder, and with excitement. God has revealed Himself to them, and in a way that reverses the world's understanding of power and greatness. Heaven has touched earth in the most ordinary of places, in the fields, not in the temple, in a manger, not in a palace. There's hope for the most ordinary of people to encounter God the Most High in the ordinary places of their lives. That's the good news. Wherever you are and whatever circumstance you find yourself in, God's love is reaching out to you this very day. That night, if you'd walked by, nothing would have seemed supernatural. Mangers were not the beautiful, clean places we see in our Christmas pageants. They're lonely, dirty, smelly places made for animals. If you're looking for Jesus, don't start in the nursery. Go out to the barn and find the oldest part where the boards need repair and there's spider webs and the ground is covered with dirt and the air smells of manure. When you hear the baby's cry, you know you've found the Lord. He's not in the nursery with the rest of the children. He's out in the barn with the animals. Oh, what a wonderful God that we serve, that He would condescend to come down to us, take on flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, and be born in the lowliest of places, that He might lift us to the highest of heights and call us His children, the sons of God, bring us in to His royal family. But above all of those privileges, take our place on an old rugged cross and be treated and punished as if He had committed the sins Himself, that we might be forgiven and reconciled and receive all of these blessings. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Being interpreted, that means God with us. I like what Arthur W. Pink said. He said, "The infinite became finite. The invisible became tangible. The transcendent became imminent. That which was far off became near. That which was beyond the reach of the human mind became that which could be seen and touched. The Word became flesh. He became what He was not previously. He did not cease to be God, but He became man." Some of you may have heard about the Jesus Seminar, a group of liberal scholars who use colored pebbles to vote on whether or not the gospel stories about Jesus are authentic or not. Several years ago, they voted down the virgin birth of Christ. The vote was 24-1. Against the biblical account of the virgin birth. Voting with multicolored pebbles, these folks decided that Mary must have had to have known a man sexually, either with Joseph or some unknown person before she became pregnant with Jesus. They also decreed, and by the way, this myth is still being propagated today, they also decreed the visit of the wise men of fabrication, the slaughter of the innocents of fiction, the flight of the Holy Family to Egypt, a fanciful allegory drawn from the Moses story in Exodus. According to Timothy George in his book, Why We Believe, from Christianity Today, or his article, this was written way back in 1994. But the gospel is still attacked today But I want you to know it is still intact today as well. For the hope it offers, no one else can give. The peace that it promises, no one else can bring. Amen. And the truth it proclaims will stand long after the world as we know it has passed away. Amen. In fact, the Bible said heaven will pass away and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. I mention that because the Christian church has always professed its belief in the literal truth of the virgin birth. The ancient creeds put it this way: conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This is one truth that has always been believed by all Christians everywhere. So when we read, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David," let us remember it points to something true, an event that really happened, not a legend or a myth or a nicely told fairy tale. Everything about the story is true, including the central truth that there really was a baby born in Bethlehem who really was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So I say today unto you, rejoice. You that feel you are lost, your Savior has come to seek and to save you. Be of good cheer, you who are in prison, for he comes to set you free. Not necessarily just a literal prison, but a prison of addiction that you can't break out of, because Jesus came to set the captive free. You who are famished and ready to die, rejoice that he has consecrated for you a Bethlehem, a house of bread. He has come to be the bread of life to your hungry, starving soul. Rejoice, O sinners everywhere, for the restorer of the castaways, the Savior of the fallen, is born. Hallelujah. That was quoted by C.H. Spurgeon in his message, Joy Born in Bethlehem. I ran across this quote from Tim Keller in Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's a compilation of Christmas writings by various authors. Listen to what he said. This attitude that we should have this Christmas season that should last beyond Christmas for every day of our life because of what Christmas has accomplished. And I quote, "Christmas is the end of thinking you're better than someone else, because Christmas is telling you that you could never get to heaven on your own. God had to come to you. It is the telling you that people who are saved are not those who have arisen through their own ability to be what God wants them to be. Salvation comes to those who admit how weak and needy they are. Christmas is the end of thinking you're better than someone else." That might make a good banner to hang over the front door of every church in the world. At least it would serve up a dollop of humility every time we passed under the banner. Those of us who believe in Jesus aren't any better than anyone else. Sometimes we think that we're worse than a lot of people. Amen. But that's not the point. God came down to us. God reached way down to save you if you're saved today, and God reached way down to save me. We didn't go up to him because ever since the Tower of Babel, we've been building our towers to heaven and they keep on collapsing. Amen. I heard about a man who does tax planning. He remarked how people are getting back to the basics this year. So many of us are coming to the end of 2013, just barely hanging on. If you were in the stock market, you may have lost heavily. Your net worth in real estate has probably taken a big hit. Maybe you've lost your job or you're worried it might happen soon. I think for many people, this will be a different sort of Christmas. You may have lost loved ones that no one else can replace. And Christmas is going to be different this year. one that is less materialistic and more family-centered and more spiritually focused. Certainly people are thinking more about the future and wondering what tomorrow may bring. Friend, I want you to know, because that little baby was born in Bethlehem, we have a hope and we have a future. Because Jesus came seeking the lost, we have a hope. Listen, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior today, there's great news this Christmas. Great good news. Did you know good news is what gospel means? And the Bible tells us to preach and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the good news is this: peace on earth is God's will and purpose in sending His Son. God has taken the initiative to seek and to save. God has sent His Son to take our place and take our punishment on that old rugged cross at Calvary, so that we might be reconciled unto Him, so that He might give us peace, He might give us fulfillment, He might give us hope and a future. He said, I know my thoughts. Don't let nobody tell you that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't want you for His own, that God hasn't prepared a place for you called heaven and wants to prepare you for that place today. Don't let anyone tell you that you are so bound up in any sin, in any circumstance, in any habit, that Jesus can't set you free, that God will not love you enough to send His Spirit into your life and into your heart to deliver you from the bondage that you are in. Praise God. This is the joyous message of Christmas. I want to join the angelic choir in proclaiming, for the rest of my life, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy. Why? Because Jesus did come. He was born in that manger. He did go to that cross. He did accomplish everything that was necessary for God to save our souls if we would trust Him. He did raise from the dead. He did ascend unto heaven. He did sit down at the right hand of the Father. He does ever live to make intercession for us. And He is coming back for us. And even if we, our bodies are in the ground on that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. Hallelujah. There's a great getting up morning coming, because He came and He conquered death and He conquered Satan's kingdom of darkness, that the captives might go free. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, there's an Old Testament scripture. It said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings and publish peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to be one of those proclaimers of the good news of Jesus with everything I am and with everything I have, with the utilization of the media on radio right now. That's why I introduce myself as a pastor. I have pastored the Holy Church of God, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International, for 40 years next month. Praise God. I have been preaching and proclaiming the good news. But when I began to utilize the media, when God opened the door of radio years ago, I was on WSOL in Tampa. I forget the call letters before that. Amen. But WINQ. WSOL and now WMAF, and our website that reaches to the nations of the world. I want to tell the whole world what the angels told the shepherds. Praise God. I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy. Amen. Which will be to everybody who hears it and receives it. For unto you, to me, in the 21st century, amen, this baby was born that we might know God, be reconciled to Him, saved by Him, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, today there's hope for you. There is help for you. There is peace for you. There is joy for you in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I stop and I begin to think what it would be like if Jesus had not come. If He didn't come. If it wasn't true. If it was nothing but a myth. You see, if Christ did not come, the promises of God would be unfulfilled. If Christ had not come, the world would still be in darkness. If Christ had not come, there would be no bridge across the gulf of sin. If Christ had not come, we would not know that God is love. If Christ had not come, there would be no gospel to believe. If Christ would not come, there would be no Christmas and no Easter. If Jesus Christ had not come, there would be no hope beyond the grave. If Christ had not come, we would still be lost, for there would be no Savior for sin. If Jesus Christ had not come, there would be no good news to preach to the nation. Listen again to the words of the angel and think of what it really means for us. Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ah, friend, this is much more than a holiday. It is such a holy day. See, Jesus did come. Amen. The year was 1809, and a traveler was passing through Kentucky. He stopped and asked, "Anything happen around here lately?" "No, nothing ever happens around here. There was a baby born at the Lincoln cabin last night, that's all. Just a baby at the Lincoln cabin. Abraham Lincoln." See, you never know what may happen in the world because a baby was born. No doubt the innkeeper didn't know who he was turning away. Even Mary at that time couldn't fully comprehend what it all meant that night. But that baby born in Bethlehem has become the centerpiece of human history. We even divide time itself by His coming, B.C. and A.D. Our friend, Christ has come. Christ has accomplished His mission. Jesus Christ has ascended on high, raised from the dead, hallelujah, sat down at the right hand of God and promises, "I'm coming back again. I'm preparing a place." And right now, He's preparing a people for that place to live with Him forever, age without end. This is the joy. This is the peace and this is the hope of Christmas. Hallelujah. And I pray that this year, that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you will put your trust in Him right now, this Christmas Eve, so that this Christmas day and every Christmas till He comes will be different than it's ever been before. That you might know the joy unspeakable that is so full of God's glory and grace. And if you're a Christian, I pray that you will pause from the busyness, the stress, the materialism, and celebrate your salvation and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.